Welcome back to the Roundtable. There is a new exhibit, The Art of Wordless Picture Books, at the Eric Carle Museum of Picture Book Art in Amherst, Massachusetts. Wordless picture books take center stage in the Carle's new exhibition on view through December 5th. Artist and author David Wisner, who has won 6 Caldecott citations, 5 of which were awarded for his tour de force Wordless Picture Books, has traded in his paints and brushes to curate this marvelous exhibition. He celebrates masters of the craft, including some of the artists who influenced his own remarkable career, presenting a 90-year history of graphic storytelling, and examines how the wordless genre for children developed over time. The exhibition traces the form's emergence from the shadows of mainstream publishing to its enthusiastic embrace by the public today. Again, The Art of Wordless Picture Books is on display, on exhibit, at the Eric Carle Museum of Picture Book Art through December 5th. David Wisner, welcome to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Joe. And it's Wisner, not Wisner.
All right. I was going to ask you.
It's a lifelong thing, you know.
I know. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's okay. Everybody does it.
I know. Do I want to be everybody? Sure. Wisner is the correct pronunciation. David Wisner, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks.
Well, what a beautiful project. You've done a marvelous job here. Give us a sense of how this all came together.
Well, wordless storytelling has been essentially the focus of most of my work. And really, it came about for me when I saw examples of it. And being one of those kids who, you know, grew up just drawing all the time, the first thing anybody would say about me, you know, was, "This is David. He loves to draw." You know, it defined me. And when I saw entire stories being told through pictures, it just really captured my imagination. That was the language that I was, you know, really I was most familiar with. And so when I went to art school and really fell in love with books as the form that I wanted to work in, it never occurred to me not to make those books wordless. And it was after making my first two, mostly, that I began to realize there were, in fact, a lot more wordless picture books than I was aware of. And so as a sort of sideline to actually making them, I started to look into the history of wordless books, and picture books mainly, but also the other forms that have told books without stories. And it was just, you know, a wonderful opportunity when the folks at the Carle called me up and said, you know, would you like to put together an exhibition of these books? And absolutely, you know, it was something I was thinking about, but not even knowing how to set that in motion. And fortunately, you know, someone else gave me the opportunity. So it was just great to, you know, put out to the public a focus on these books. They're out there. There's a lot of them, and some are more well-known than others. But to have the chance to really put the spotlight on just the incredible artistry and storytelling that's going on was great. And I have to throw in that the museum, Ellen Kiter, the chief curator, was so great in helping me, you know, understand what it takes to curate an exhibition. So it was great.
One of the things that is fascinating, I was just looking up the list of, I believe there are 22 picture books that are featured within the exhibition, and really just beautiful, beautiful stuff. Some going back all the way to the, I think, 1930s was the earliest,
yeah,
if that's correct, by
Ruth
Carroll. But give us a sense, since you have done this, of what the challenge is in producing a meaningful wordless picture book.
The key thing, which again, I began making them, and that it was a realization that began to come to me when teachers and librarians and others would send examples of things that kids had done in response to my books. I literally have a room full of these. There's something about these books that sparks the imagination, and taking away the text, taking away the words, and telling the story through pictures allows everyone who reads them to tell the story that they see in their own words. And it's a different way to experience a book. And particularly, again, I had no idea this would be the case, but for anyone for whom reading presents hurdles, whether it's, you know, English as a second language or reading difficulties where there's sort of that fear of the word, suddenly you remove that hurdle and, you know, these kids, their imaginations go wild and they're freed to tell the story. But they each complete that story. I came into it as, you know, an artistic exploration and then came to realize just what a potent experience it is for a child to read them and for a parent and child to read them. So when you're creating a book without words, I mean, obviously the pictures have to tell the entire story, but you really have to focus very, very detailed, very carefully on the movement of your images from image to image, where there are multiple smaller pictures on a single page, or from page to page as you turn the pages. If the text, you know, were to say you turn the page and the text says the next day, you know, there's no text doing that. How am I going to make sure that the reader understands we've moved to a different place or a different time? You can use design, borders. You can use color. All the tools in the artist's palette come into play of how do I get across in just the pictures what's happening here. Emotions of characters, so facial expressions and body language come into play. And all of this stuff has to be, you know, be read. How large is a character within the frame of the picture can have an effect on how you react to them. You know, for an example, you know, a character who's feeling alone or somehow in a sad position, you know, a small character within an environment that sort of is overwhelming them, the visual impact of that tells the reader something about what's happening. So really, it encompasses every single thing that an artist uses, and really just constantly thinking about the story and how is the character reacting or how are the characters reacting to each other, and how can I show that in pictures and make sure I don't, you know, lose the reader along the way. Sometimes you can jump from picture to picture. You know, if it's too incremental a change, it can get boring. It's like, okay, you know, get on with it. But if your jump is too large, on the other hand, you might lose the reader going, wait, you know, where am I? What happened? So, you know, there's a balance between those things. And, you know, reading them opens up a chance for, you know, if there's an interpretation, everybody's going to read those things in different ways, which is great, you know, depending on who the kid is, you know, what's their background, where are they coming from, what are they bringing to it. I love the fact that it's different for everybody.
Artist and curator David Wiesner joins us. The exhibit is entitled The Art of Wordless Picture Books and on display through December 5th at the Eric Carle Museum of Picture Book Art in Amherst, Massachusetts. You have an incredible collection here, as I mentioned. Give us a sense of, so what was this like? Did you have a wish list and then you went after them, or how did that work?
Yeah, there definitely was a wish list, and it was a great look into what it must be like to work in a museum to do this sort of thing, because there's the, well, what do we want? And then, Where is it?
When can we get it? Yeah.
Can we get it? So, you know, there were things that, for a variety of reasons, we couldn't get. The pandemic had a number of institutions not allowing loans. So, you know, there were some key things that I'd love to have, you know, but, you know, they weren't available. And there were cases of, where are these things? Who's got them? There are a number of institutions that have large holdings of original art and manuscripts for picture books. But there's a lot of people who, you know, the stuff is in some relative's basement, you know, somewhere sitting around. And basically I called everyone in the field. You know, there's some people who are far more knowledgeable about, have more connections, you know, and said, you know, here's this person. Do you have any idea where it is or who's got it? And that was exciting, you know, to find something. And suddenly Peter Speer, the first person to win a Caldecott for a wordless book, you know, it was like, well, who's got Peter's work? He's like not in any of these major institutions. And through, you know, a series of email chains, found that his son out on Long Island has basically all his books, all the art for all the books down in the basement. And I hope they don't stay in the basement, but it was a thrill to get the work because I love Peter's work, especially
beautiful.
His book Rain, which he did after his Caldecott book Noah's Ark. That's one of the first picture books, wordless picture books that I saw that I just went, oh my gosh, you know, this is incredible.
I love Circus, and his Christmas book is absolutely beautiful, and he did a book called People, which is really great. And and Rain, from what I remember, has one of my favorite illustrated dogs in it. Just really good stuff. I find, yes, it's fascinating that that's in a basement somewhere. Fascinating slash scary. How about some of the other stuff? I mean, and then we start to get to more current stuff, and I assume that with artists who are still with us, that is a little bit easier to obtain.
Yes. In that case, most of the people I knew and could write, you know, directly to them.
Yep.
And, that makes things a lot easier. It was really exciting to find Ruth Carroll's What Whiskers Did, because as I was, you know, researching over the past few years the history of wordless picture books, that's the first wordless picture book published in the U.S. in 1932. And it turns out that all the art for that and a lot of her books are out at the University of Oregon. And I was like, oh my gosh, here it is. We can get, you know, this is like the piece of work. And fortunately, they were willing to lend it. So it was really exciting to be able to show that work. It's a funny little book. And then the shocking thing was, it's then 30 years before there's another wordless picture book published in the U.S. I still don't know what's up with that, what the problem was, you know. I don't know, but it's this strange missing, you know, couple of decades. And and then suddenly they, in this early 60s, you get a few each year, and then suddenly it picks up, and then it's great because picture books have just continued every year to put out really interesting wordless books. So we found, right, I'm here just outside of Philadelphia, but the Free Library of Philadelphia has a whole load of Tom Younger's original art, which is just amazing. And they were kind enough to lend work for the show. So that was great.
Really amazing stuff that is out there. What's the one that got away?
Well, we would have loved to have had, you know, Raymond Briggs' Snowman, but couldn't get that. And Mitsumasu Anno, the great Japanese artist, no longer allows his work to travel outside of Japan. I think that predates the pandemic. So that was disappointing because the artists we couldn't get are represented within cases. We have first edition books and stuff, so you can see. But and we oh gosh, I don't mean to point fingers here, but you know, we found a piece of John Goodall. I don't know if you know listeners know John Goodall's books. They're just fantastic. They're very small, and most of them have a extra half page in between each page. So if you have a, you know, they're horizontal and you turn the full page, in between the next two pages, there's this little page that's half the length of the others. And if you lay the page down flat on the right hand side page, you have a full image that covers both the pages, the full double page spread. And then if you turn that little flap over so it now lies flat on the left-hand page, it still matches perfectly with the surroundings, but the characters within that space that was covered up and on the back side of the flap are now in different positions, moving the story ahead, you know, a little bit, usually in a funny way. So it's almost like, you know, it's almost like animation, you know, in a way.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Called movable books. And we finally found, you know, I thought they would all be in England, but a complete book of his. And no amount of begging, the institution just wouldn't let it go because they had a ban on lending anything, and it's like 30 miles away from me. I couldn't believe we were combing
so
the
close.
World literally, and I finally turns up right down the road. And we couldn't get it. So, you know, we have some of his books, obviously.
You know, I know John Goodall because of always did the cover illustrations for Miss Reed books, which were very popular. It was a whole series of Thrush Green and Fairacre and sort of a precursor, if you will, to the, I'm going to blank on the name of the Jan Karen's they're adult books, but he did all of the illustrations for them, and that's sort of how I got to know his illustrations and that he did kids' books. But beautiful stuff, absolutely gorgeous. So yeah, I'm sorry that got away from you. Yeah, really beautiful and very full of color and life and whimsy and lovely. So people have until the 5th to see this beautiful exhibit, and it fits into the space so well, and there's so much going on, and it just must be lovely for you to go around and be with that art.
Oh, it was when, you know, it was a subdued opening, but to actually be in the space with people and see art on the wall was just fantastic. And you know, I'd seen some of the work in person before, but there were things there that I was just, you know, chomping at the bit to finally get a chance to go see, because I knew, you know, they would tell me, oh, so-and-so's work has arrived at the museum and they're framing, and it was like, oh God, I want to get in the car and drive up there and, you know, see it. So it was great to have the opportunity to do that.
What's next for you?
I'm working on a new book at the moment, and I don't, you know, the opportunity in normal times, I would go around because I have a whole, you know, presentation with lots and lots of images and video and stuff about this whole thing. But I just don't know that there's venues.
They're not ready for you yet.
So, unfortunately, and boy, it gets old doing it on Zoom, I have to say.
I bet. I can't only imagine. Well, the new exhibit is The Art of Wordless Picture Books at the Eric Carle Museum of Picture Book Art in Amherst, Massachusetts. It is on view through December 5th. David Wiesner is the curator. He is a wonderful artist, and he has been our guest. David, I wish you all the luck in the world, and I thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Well, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me on and telling people about the show.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.